Hello again, and welcome back to Two Guys in the Neighborhood. I'm Bruce Carlisle. With me again is the Sage of Verona, Mr. Mark Popovich.
Still alive!
I've been told absence does make the heart grow fonder, and we needed a little hiatus, much like some of our best shows, to have you miss us a little bit.
I think this is going to work out very well in our favor here. As we head towards the spring, all our shows coming back.
I said the flu season was a devastating part, at least for me.
I had it twice.
Yeah, me too. And we apologize because I think it could have kept you guys warm during those tough winter months, but you had not wanted to hear us a couple weeks ago. It would have been brutal.
But we are back just in time with our bachelors a couple weeks in.
Yes.
And, you know, we have our bachelor, Sean, who's close to my heart in a way because he's a K-State alumnus.
He's a fellow Wildcat on a big day for the Wildcats today.
On a big day for the Wildcats today, playing Kansas here. And first of all, more than anything, you know, the one thing we know about Sean is he can work out because every show starts with him working out so far.
I swear, I feel there needs to be some sort of drinking game where a shirtless picture of Sean should net somebody a drink.
Well, the good thing about Sean so far as our bachelor.
I actually like him.
Really?
At first, I was kind of apprehensive, and I was definitely apprehensive when I met the girls. But the thing that I like the most is he seems very, as much as I would buy into the same vernacular that The Bachelor uses, he seems genuine. He seems here for all the right reasons. But he doesn't take himself too seriously.
That's true.
He's willing to joke around.
Yep.
And the thing that I've liked is because of him, the quality of girl – I don't know if you noticed, every single girl that gets that one-on-one and talks to him, they've been saying they want the type of relationship that their parents have.
True.
Whereas we've made joke after joke that we needed the team therapist to
Absolutely.
Come in. Where, like, row after row of guy or girl was like, just tell me your shattering story about heartbreak and breakup.
It seems like we only have one sort of shattering story this year.
Yes.
It belonged to Ashley, who we'll get to later
today.
Let me ask you this. I agree with everything you said about Sean. I think he's genuine. I think he's funny. I think he really understands what's going on here. My only concern is that as a born-again Christian, the fantasy suite is going to be far less fun this year.
Oh, I did not know he was a born-again Christian.
Yeah, and he has publicly stated that he will not be betting any of these women before he's engaged.
Well, you know what? We saw the same thing with Emily, and that still didn't stop the fantasy suite from being semi-entertaining.
That's true. There was some stuff there. So, all right, now, any sort of, let's through a couple episodes, any of your early favorites, people that really stuck out with you?
Well, I was sad to see Bachelor Pad alumnus Paige get bounced very early on.
I felt really bad for her. Like, she just can't win in these games.
She cannot win in these games. Maybe she comes back for Bachelor Pad 4.
I just say, does she make another appearance in the pad?
I feel like she should. At least she's got the gravitas now for being on the show.
Is she considered a veteran if she can't last more than one episode in any show?
I feel like she should. Like, I was a fan. I noticed that most of these girls had a very particular look, and it was very much more of that Emily look. Whereas if you want the girl that's more pageanty, I guess, they were very striking. Whereas you go for someone who would like maybe the girl next door look.
Okay.
And a lot of these girls don't have necessarily that look.
Interesting.
That's something I noticed. That,
okay.
You know,
as
a person who's been a big fan of, I'm a big fan of the girl next door look. So seeing some of these girls, a lot of them were not necessarily for me.
Okay.
But I'm shocked that the substitute teacher survived the first round.
By the way, she's not helping with teachers.
She is not helping education at all.
She's not helping education.
She's reforming herself. I feel absolutely terrible for the one-armed girl.
I have a lot about the one-armed girl.
Sarah, I feel absolutely awful for because, you know, it wasn't like it's just something that happened before she was born. There's nothing she could have done about it. She seems to do a great job.
Yeah, she seems, and she's attractive.
Yes.
Normal and well-adjusted. Mm-hmm. So that's good. But, like, her whole thing with not being able to go on the zip line in Vegas, like, it's against a state law. Like, I understand that she feels
is
bad.
Is it against the state
That's
law?
That's what they said. Like, they
said
I
thought she said it was like a I thought it was a liability issue.
Either way, like, there's going to be some limitations. Like,
but I feel badly. I don't know. Maybe that's the libertarian. If she wants to go careening down that zip line and waive her right to sue, then why not let her do that? You can't tell me you can't find one shady zipline operator. Like, all of a sudden, all of those things are on the up and up.
I think you have to go to, like, Costa Rica or something for the shadiest of the shady.
Okay.
Honduras. Honduras is a check-in.
Let me ask you this. When they go abroad, she's making it at least to some country.
Oh yeah, she's making it out of the house for sure.
Okay, now they always inevitably do zip lining. Does he give her her chance?
Well, I'm gonna tell you now.
Does the Bachelor roll that dice? Because I'm sure they've got an ironclad liability.
Here's my only thing, and I don't want this to sound bad, but they didn't have her go play volleyball last night.
And that's true. And you're right.
You know what? They didn't put her on that group date that went and played volleyball. I don't think she should be on the group on the date that goes zip lining. I just think they're going to kind of avoid that. There's a lot of options out there.
You don't think she makes like she gets a one-on-one date and they go zip lining? It's just the two of them. He gives her her chance that she didn't get. You don't think the producers put two and two together?
I think that's going to be.
I mean, they're doing a great job, and this isn't me being sarcastic. They're doing a great job what they did with that Ashley date by helping Starlight Foundation by helping.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm trying to speak up the Bachelor, and I feel like.
By the way, I think it's Sean's totally genuine with all that stuff.
I agree too. And that's part of the reason why I feel like he's such a good person.
Yeah.
To have for the show, because I mean, before, imagine just in comparison, if it was Ari
or Brad,
somebody else, or Brad, God,
Brad'd be like, I don't know what the words star and light do going together.
Don't they both make light?
Yeah.
It seems redundant.
He wouldn't know what the word redundant meant.
Oh, he did. No, probably not.
So I think this is setting up to be a fairly entertaining season, though.
Oh, I like the girls. The quality of girls is what's making this episode right now. There's a couple incredibly bizarre ducks that stir the pot up.
Absolutely.
Which make it, you know, semi-entertaining, even though I guess you need to have your people you love to hate, and The Bachelor always provides that.
Absolutely. We'll get to those later.
Yeah, we'll get to those.
But let's start with last night. Well, last night we've had our first one-on-one date, and it's Leslie M., who is my girl.
Because she works in politics?
She works in politics. She's cute. She's smart. She's funny. She's got a great body. I loved her in the cowboy outfit.
Are you more so than the mini dress?
I've been a huge fan of Leslie M. since the very beginning.
Okay.
I think she's set up, just to give you a free preview of the power poll. I believe she is set up to make it to the final three, lose, and become the next Bachelorette.
More so than Ashley.
Yes.
Interesting.
Ashley, too old. We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
All right. So they get to go. They first start off with their trip is on the Guinness World Records Museum right there on Hollywood Boulevard.
Right, which the person who wrote for EW, so the armpit of tourism of
it really
Hollywood.
Is. Like, have you been to like the Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum up there? Like, it's right next door. It's just a scrap.
If I've ever gone to LA, I'm telling you now, I've never been to Man's Chinese Theater.
It's all right there. It's all in the same block.
Well, I agree, but I've avoided that whole.
Really?
The closest I've gotten into Hollywood is go to the Pantages.
Oh, okay.
I get in, I get out, I avoid, I see a good show, I get, you know, there's a couple of restaurants around there, life is good.
Well, how about Sean's dad holding a record for the fastest time through contiguous 48 states? I thought that was amazing.
Okay, now I thought that was not only an amazing fact, how much digging did they have to do to come up with this one? Where was this when he was...
Exactly, why isn't this being talked about when he's got Emily for a hometown date?
Right.
Like, if I'm bringing you back to my house, and my dad just set a Guinness record, like, 2 years before, we're talking about
that. I'd look more than 2 years before.
Okay, a few years before. Either way.
I think he was driving.
If I hold a Guinness record, damn it, that thing's up on the mantle.
He was driving, like, a VW Bug or something in that shot. Like, an El Camino was in the shot in the background.
It was quite that old. An El Camino. We just skewed older right there.
Yeah, I think we're going to skew older a little bit today. I'm sorry. Our loyal listeners that don't remember the Nixon administration.
Well, anyway, so we get that. And then we see that they're going to set a Guinness record, which is for the world's longest on-screen kiss.
Now, I'm going to tell you now, the minimal research that I could do at work, I tried to find what was the previous record holder. I could not find it. And
really?
I was kind of mad.
Oh, okay.
Where else would someone kiss consistently for 3 minutes?
I have no idea.
Seconds.
I have no idea. Now, my thought was that if I was Leslie or our Bachelor Sean in this show, I would consistently screw up like 30 seconds in just so I had to keep starting over again and got to make out more.
I think at this point, with so many people watching,
and
in reading the Chris Harrison blog, they did have to do it twice.
Really?
They screwed up the first time. They're a little too passionate. Broke away
because they tried to breathe.
Yeah, can't breathe.
Yeah, so you can't open your mouth and catch a break, which was tough. And by the way, Sean was definitely grabbing her butt during that. I was like, good for him.
Might as well, right?
Absolutely. That was nice. And then they said they forgot there was a crowd there. Did you believe that?
No, because they were chanting. I also want to know if he now holds the record for longest on-screen boner, because those, I feel, have to go hand in hand.
I would agree with that. Now, as the father of daughters, that's your daughter up there setting the record for the longest on-screen kiss. You're Leslie M's dad watching this at home last night. How are you feeling?
I feel like that could be, if I had a choice, and let's say, God forbid, our daughters were on the show, I would much rather have my daughter set the Guinness Book of World Records for longest kiss than being someone where everyone knows they knocked it out of the park on the fantasy suite. If I had to take one or the other...
That's a fair point. It could be like, you know, if you watched The Daily Show last week and Lena Dunham was on The Daily Show.
Yeah.
And they were talking about how this should be a Brian Williams cam for every time his daughter's in a sex scene on the show. Like, that was sort of always made me think of that. So.
Yeah, I definitely think if I had a choice where, like, two other people years from now are like, they totally had sex in the past. And you guys, me and you were both like, oh, my Lord, yeah. No. So I think that's okay. Because it was chaste.
Yeah.
I will say that. It was both passionate and respectful.
Absolutely. Other things we find about Leslie, she took AP classes.
Oh, I know. I saw it. I was very excited.
That made me like her even more. I would say she is down to earth.
Are you telling me Sean didn't have to take too many AP classes to get into K-State?
No, he didn't. As somebody who took... I took way too many AP classes to get into K-State. I was well overqualified. She's down to earth. She's smart. And she's definitely gettable hot. My wife made the comparison that she is sort of this season's Allie.
Yeah, I feel like it's very similar.
She has a career. She's well-grounded. Like, I think she's like Allie. I think that's also setting her up to be the next Bachelorette. And they're definitely developing strong feelings for each other.
They've had feelings early on. But I don't know if she burns a little too bright too quickly.
Yeah, we'll see. That's why I think she only makes it to the top three at the very end. All right. We go to our group date, which is a day at the beach.
Which is exciting.
By the way, did you notice that they got a bikini sponsorship? They're all wearing the same brand of bikini.
Yes.
I thought that was interesting.
I'm sure there was some sporting athletic wear that they wanted to have. Also because they don't want to get fined by the SEC if they're going to play beach volleyball.
Okay. That's a fair point. The other thing I thought was interesting is it appears as if none of the girls, at least on this date, had fake boobs.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that. My wife said the same thing, that she was very happy that there wasn't as many, there were many trashy people. There were more normal.
They seemed normal, but they were all had very attractive bodies.
And, yeah, they were all very cute, but nothing plasticky, which is a far cry from some other seasons.
Absolutely. So they're playing beach volleyball for a long time. Now, this is.
No, you missed the best part of this.
Okay, go.
Is they're just playing around at the beach. And Chris Harrison shows up in the oldest of old man wear. I haven't seen a man look this bad on the beach since Nixon used to walk on his suit out down San Clemente.
That's true.
And again, we're skewing older, What in the hell of linen pants was that man wearing?
I don't know why he was doing that, especially with Chris Harrison being single now. You think he'd want to show his best side at all times around this group of single women, all of whom are going to lose out on a man except one of them.
Now, do you feel that, would that have broken some sort of, like, unwritten host bond? Because even Jep Probst, I think, still wears the full pants.
You know what? I have not watched Survivor enough to know
Neither have I, but I mean... When's the last time you've seen a host of a show wear shorts?
That's a good point.
Besides TJ Lavin. He probably
TJ does. TJ definitely does wear shorts. But I know you don't follow the challenge really as much anymore. Which, by the way, had a great challenge season while we were on hiatus.
But here's the thing. Like, do you think that if Chris Harrison went shorts, he'd get looked down by all the other people?
I think the other hosts might look down on him. I think that's a really good point.
Is there some hidden code?
Jenny McCarthy on Love in the Wild did wear shorts, as did the Australian bloke who hosted the show before her.
Okay, because, girls different.
Yeah, they can get away with it. But, yeah, the Australian guy did, whose name has gone off into the ether. But, yeah, I think he might have got looked down. I think he was trying to – he's on a big network show. It's a flagship show. Maybe there is some standard there we're unaware of. Okay. As we look at this, the one thing I said was there's no way this volleyball game could ever live up to the softball game we had a couple seasons ago.
No, we were reminiscing about Blakely. Her war was amazing.
I know.
She must have hit over 600 to try to
her lead OPS was unbelievable. So the thing that I was most mad about was that they brought in some guy to be the ref. for the volleyball game, who we never got introduced to. And my biggest question is, why aren't you and I the refs for this? How did we miss the application to be the ref for the beach volleyball game?
I think here's what ended up. I think they both got a professional volleyball player to be their coach.
We didn't even get to meet that person.
I know. I think it got cut. And why not? When you could watch such stunning volleyball scenes.
They were horrible.
They all, yeah, everyone.
They have no idea how to play volleyball. The girls were terrible. The blue team wins. And then Christy started crying. Leslie H. started crying.
We haven't even talked about Christy yet. Christy reminds me so much of Tom Cruise. Like, overly smiling and way too much energy. She's like a...
She has a very androgynous look to her face.
But just, like, the fact that she's, like, could jump on a sofa every moment because she's so excited. Which, going back into the past, was the biggest BS victory I had ever seen. Was she won the modeling challenge. Well, no, she's a model. And, like, she was all excited that that adds to her portfolio. Like, I thought that was BS.
I thought it was kind of cool.
Like, of course she's going to win.
But, no, but she got nothing for winning. She didn't win a rose. All she had to be was on a cover. She's already a model. It helps her out. I wasn't upset with that. If a rose had been involved, I could see your point. But to me, it was no harm, no foul.
I think, what if you were like on The Bachelor or Bachelorette and it was like a 3-point shooting contest? You have an inherent advantage over everybody else.
I would be super stoked.
Exactly, but it wouldn't be fair. You're like, he coaches basketball. He should be able to do that.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I didn't have a beef with that at all. So the blue team wins, the red team has to go away. So we get to see some more one-on-one time with Lindsay, our substitute teacher. She opened up a lot and she got a little makeout session.
She did, and she's turning that corner. She's becoming far more genuine.
She is. Fun Dez, who she's not Desiree, she's just Dez.
You know, I feel like it's a good look. Or a good, you know, if my name is Desiree, that's a long name.
I have no problem with that, but she makes sure everybody calls her Dez. She was claiming to be more deep than she appeared.
I like her. I'm high on her.
You're high on Dez. Okay, I'm high on Dez as well. Amanda predicted she would get the rose.
Amanda's doing no favors to Newport Beach right now.
No, she's not.
And that, you didn't think that there was a city in Orange County that you would feel sorry for, especially Newport Beach. I would not feel sorry for Newport Beach, but...
It's not making them look good.
No.
And then KCB definitely overplayed her hand on this group date.
You know, part of the thing is why I'm happy that we didn't do a podcast for the first 2 weeks. I could avoid talking about KCB because she annoyed me in Ben's season. Go ahead.
My favorite part is that, you know, everybody else, they list their name, their age, occupation. She doesn't get an occupation list. Her occupation is Ben's season. That's what they listed for her on the graphic.
And why not? Because I don't know where she went, but she aged in dog years.
Oh my gosh, she looked horrible.
Like, I don't know how much makeup or whatever. It was frustrating to see. She was more childish than I remember.
Yeah, so she tries to get in this, like, she goes to tattle on Dez and Amanda, like, sniping at each other to him. And he looks at her like, oh, why don't you just say something to them? Why are you telling me? Which he asks a very rational question, which makes me like Sean more.
Yeah, I need Casey right now. I don't need this crazy person.
Yeah. So then Lindsay, the substitute teacher, gets the rose. KCB breaks down, thinking that all is lost. Spoiler alert, all is lost.
Which was okay. It was nice that he pulled her aside to let her go.
It's
okay. KCB doesn't cut us.
KCB doesn't go back. Bill Simmons had a tweet last night that they should bring KCB back every year just to see how much more crazy she gets each year. Like, by her mid-30s, it could be kind of amazing.
I like that, but I feel like that's what the Bachelor pad's for. Erica Rose shows up again for one more season.
I wrote Casey, when I said that she was gone, I said straight to the pad. Like, she is coming back for the Bachelor pad.
I feel like I'm telling you now, without Tierra's got Bachelor pad written all over.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So, we get to Ashley's 101. Before we get that, Tierra took a tumble down the stairs.
Now, here becomes something that might be the most talked about. Okay, who done it in Bachelor history? Do you think she fell?
Okay, here's what I want to say. And if this sounds offensive, I'm sorry. But I hope someone would blame Sarah just so we could get a fugitive callback and say the one-armed woman did it.
Again, I don't think... Where's a fugitive carrot with... What is that, 1992?
1992 was when the movie came out. Yeah, the show was in the 60s.
I don't think, yeah. Only if you could somehow get Harrison to stand at the top of the stairs and yell Kimball.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I think that's what they should have done. I do think she just fell on her own.
I don't think she fell at all.
You don't think she even fell?
No, well, not at all. Because the thing that makes me wonder is every single person and every single thing that I read about afterwards in my diligent research that we do for this podcast.
Absolutely.
Is the second Sean showed up, she popped up like nothing was wrong. Now, I'm going to tell you now, if you took a tumble down adobe steps, that's not carpeted.
That's tile.
Yeah, and you just hit it, and if you fell at anything, you are down for a while. Now, keep in mind, it could have been 20, 30 minutes. Who knows? If you read the LA Times, who knows what response times are in that
exactly.
area. But I think that once she's, I think it was applying. Sadly, even, I mean, I feel like Chris Harrison said it, like, without saying it. Like, yeah. I don't know. It seemed weird. And then, like, at the end, she refused medical attention.
Yeah, she did. And so everybody thinks she's doing it just to get attention from Sean, which there's definitely some credence to that theory.
And it works.
It did work. So then after that, we get Ashley. And Ashley gets the old Dollywood date from Emily's season. Where her and Ari went to Dollywood.
But I feel like... I guess it was the same. No, I'm aware. You don't have to tell me what Dollywood is.
So they get to go there, and they're doing charitable work with the Starbert Foundation, which sounds like really nice.
Oh, it was very nice. It was nice to see those two people that had never met.
Emily and Brianna, the two girls with mitochondrial disease, had never actually met each other. You know, I thought there was at least going to be a Manti Te'o joke thrown in there, but...
No, I'm going to keep it classy for this one.
And we find out that... I think my wife had an interesting question. She goes... Don't they have to tell, like, hey, you're going somewhere where you're going to be walking all day? And Ashley showed up with, like, these huge heels.
I don't know. I don't think they do.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they really want, I guess, plan on, I guess you have to pack multiple outfits because don't they go to dinner afterwards?
Yeah, but they seemed like they were in the same outfit the whole time.
Yeah.
And it was really weird because they go on the date, they have all the fun with the kids, and they have a grand old time. They get the concert with the Eli Young band who...
Apparently Sean likes him. By the way, come on now, fellow Kansas Stater, you got to know.
It's got to be some pop country crap, I would assume. But the best part to me was when they're sitting there talking after the girls have gone away, and then all of a sudden they're done, and then the Eli Young band just pops right back up. They're sitting behind them like the whole time. Like, that didn't make any sense. Did you notice that?
No, I didn't.
Like, yeah, then they just started playing again. Ashley tells him that she was adopted at the age of 6.
I'm glad they got that out of the way, because usually with these shows, they drag something out. And I'm glad, you know what, to her credit, she was upfront and honest about it.
Absolutely. And, you know, and the whole thing about wanting to adopt an older child, I thought that was actually really cool. Like, obviously, I can understand from her point why she would want to do that. Mm-hmm. And if Sean seemed genuinely into that, like, you know, they're good people. And so I think you want those kind of things for him. You know, so she said that she was, you know, lucky that she came through things like that. And he actually teared up at her story.
It's a sad story. Like, I was happy for her. I could see him. I'm okay with that. I mean, this poor girl is, you know, abandoned. And even her family was her now adopted parents were like, we're going to tell you we love you every day. I mean, it made me feel a little special. Gave me the warm fuzzies. I'm not going to lie.
So it was a nice date. I think Ashley's definitely got some legs.
Both figuratively and literally?
Literally, yes. Okay. Absolutely.
I just wanted to know how deep this joke was going to go.
So then we get to the cocktail party. He brought Sarah, her dog.
Which was nice.
That was a nice
apparently,
one.
Upon reading it, the dog was not so nice to the limo.
That's
what happens when you stick a dog in a limo.
Tiara starts showing her bitch side.
And that's going to be...
an ongoing story.
Yeah, I don't see her getting cut anytime soon.
No. And the girls are even more freaking out because they're not getting time with Sean on the fact.
Oh, that was when everyone, yeah, this is where you can tell. This is the episode. The reason why I like having this episode is probably one of my favorite ones. This is where it starts getting real.
Absolutely.
And you start seeing who's here to play for keeps, who's skilled at the art of flirting and seduction. And some of these people, I forget the cute kind of brownish, reddish hair girl from Florida.
Oh, my girl Jackie.
Jackie, like, she's getting swallowed up.
I know.
She's kind of like, should I go in? Should I not? It's not fair that this other girl's taking too much. And I guess it has to be in those shows. Like, those girls look like they're putting in the effort, and she's going to get dropped by the wayside, which is a shame because...
she's a really cute girl.
Yeah.
As you said, he sent KCB home before.
Yeah, which is good.
Which is good before the rose ceremony. Then Christy, the model from Ohio.
I know, which was sad. Tom Cruise girl was gone.
She was gone. And then Taryn, the blonde girl who we didn't really get to know very well.
That's okay. By the way, if she's 30, then I might be 17. If we're just gonna throw numbers at a dartboard. Remember, was it Gina at the Bachelor Pad where they just put question marks by her name?
Oh, no, Gwen.
Gwen, that was it.
That's when Gwen came back for the pad.
Yes.
And the weatherman was
all
about her.
I was a big fan of her. But, I mean, that was a similar one where she looked 30, or she was claiming to be 30. But
she was claiming to be 39, but she was 44.
Gwen, but, like,
yeah.
The girl.
Oh,
the
yeah, she was
claiming
to be 30, but, yeah, she was 33, 34.
I was like, there's no way she's that much younger than I am.
All right, so we're left with 13 girls.
13 girls. All right, so is this power poll time?
We're ready for a power poll.
I am ready for a power poll. First power poll of 2013.
All right, so we're going to go with number 13, Daniela. We've heard very little from
her
so
far. I'm a fan of her, though.
I am, too.
I'm not knocking where she is on your power poll. I just want to kind of offer my insights. I think she's attractive. She says she works as a casting person, even though I really think that. She was also the person who was willing to dive the most to try to get balls and fail during the volleyball match.
Absolutely true. At number 12, I have Robin from Houston.
I like her.
I do like her. She's really fun. The black girl who brought up the whole race thing a couple episodes
ago. Which I give her tons of credit for.
Absolutely.
Because you don't want to feel, especially with The Bachelor right now, you don't want to feel like you're just getting taken along for the ride.
Exactly. So I got her at 12. At 11, I have Leslie H., the car dealer, the other Leslie.
She had like the bigger, curlier hair?
Yeah.
She was, I swear to God, she was on one of those terrible, the one that had George Lopez on it, that dating show in the summer.
Really?
Take me out. I would almost bet something that she was on that.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting. All right. At number 10, I have Selma. And you had some words about Selma.
Okay, so here's the thing. Selma comes up, and I wrote it down. She's from San Diego, steps out. What's the music they play?
What do they play?
Spicy Latin music. And then we find out the next episode
she's
Persian. Yes. There's no stock Persian footage?
No, there isn't. There isn't.
Of course, just everyone from San Diego gets generic, like, what, mariachi background music?
Okay, do you want to know the other thing about Selma?
Yes, now I do.
This is the thing that made my wife hate Selma.
What?
She broke up with Mike Napoli to come on The Bachelor. My wife, with total double entendre intended, think of all the Italian sausage she gave up for this. She was not happy with that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mike, you know, that was a rough couple weeks for Mike Napoli. Failed his physical.
Yeah, lost Selma. Yeah, not good.
Wow. Sorry. I said to take a moment for that to set in.
I know. At number 9, Jackie, my girl Jackie, who I want to step up and see be more active. I think she's one of the more attractive girls there.
I do, too. She's also sneaky hot.
Yeah. Another girl I think is sneaky hot, the girl whose race we can't figure out, Catherine. Is she Hawaiian? Is she
the
Asian?
The Vanessa Vanello one?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's really cute, too.
Yeah, I have Catherine at 8. At 7, only because she had such good one-on-one time. Her power poll numbers are a little inflated this week, is Amanda, doing Newport Beach no favors, but...
Could she, and I don't want to be too judgy. I mean, we're going to be judgy, let's not be wrong. But could she be the least attractive
girl from
model?
Newport Beach? Fit
well,
model?
Yeah, both. But I mean, maybe I'm letting her attitude color that, but I just, there's no part of her that screams either model or nice person.
All right. At number 6, I have Dez.
Okay, I feel like she should be higher.
Well, just wait. We'll see. Remember, the power poll only reflects to where this episode
That's
ended.
That's true, but I didn't know if you were accumulating for the episodes that we missed.
The power
she had a strong second episode.
She had a very strong second episode, but we had some other girls that overtook her, all right? But I could have easily flipped her to number 5 with Sarah. I thought her and Sarah are interchangeable at 5 and 6.
I agree.
All right. And then at number 4, I have Lindsay, our substitute teacher, who's coming on strong.
She's a reclamation from being a hot mess on the first date to 2 episodes in.
All right, at number 3, we have Tierra, she's monopolizing time. She's filling in that Courtney role.
Oh, I know. I feel like she should be higher right now.
Okay.
Well, I know. This is my opinion. Yeah, you're the one who makes
this is
the
my
poll.
Powerful, all right? At number 2, we have Ash Lee.
Okay. I feel like she might be slightly higher, even though she tells a great story, did great things for the kids.
And I have number 1, I have Leslie. I think they have the strongest connection so far.
Right now, I definitely agree that Leslie should be in the lead. I think the only beef I have with that is I might put Tierra above
Above Ashley.
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel
fair.
Like they're running 1-2 right now, but I said it before, you know, I always enjoy a good power pull.
Yeah. Now it looks like we have a couple things happening. When we saw the season preview, we saw that Tierra is going to become the villain of the season.
Oh yes.
But we see that somebody has a boyfriend come back
this
for
this. Dez.
It appears to be Dez. So is Dez going to leave with him, or what's going to happen there? What do you think?
I hope Dez stays. I feel that Dez is a solid pick. You know, she's a normal LA person. I don't know why being an LA person matters, but I just feel like maybe I'm just used to seeing that type of person around. Just like a normal, cute, everyday girl. She seems like she has a pretty good personality. I have big things for her. Like, okay. I'd hate to see her drown unless, because I mean, I don't know if you would have to feel that if you were dating a girl for extended periods of time and for some reason you might not have committed.
Okay.
If that person breaks up or leaves you to go on The Bachelor, this shouldn't be a clarion call to be like, I should get her back. That should tell you right there.
Mike Napoli's not showing up.
No, Mike Napoli's already going to, he's in probably like Southie right now trying to find him abroad.
And they are lining up for that Italian sausage.
I bet they are. Oh, Mr. Napoli.
We miss you.
So, other shows that 30 Rock is going to end. You wanted to talk a little bit about 1600 Penn because I had left this thing in the dust to begin with.
I will make a small pitch for 1600 Penn.
Okay.
1600 Penn is funny. It actually is funny.
I would never have guessed that.
Okay. I watched the first episode. I was like, huh. Okay. It's got enough here at Juice. And then the second episode was much better. The third episode was actually really good.
Is it because Jenna Elfman's in it?
I do like Jenna Elfman. She's good in it. I think Josh Gad, depending upon your willingness to like Josh Gad.
It's low. I'm going to be completely honest.
I was with you. I'm warming up to him.
Wow.
I'm warming up to him. Bill Pullman always plays a great president.
Now, here's the thing. I would only have taken this if it was a direct sequel from Independence Day. And Bill Pullman was playing the same president. I would have liked it far better if they would have. Yeah, I even forget his name in Independence Day.
I don't know what it is.
But I think he should be allowed to only play that president.
Well, okay, that's fair. But I think 1600 Penn, give it a watch.
I might actually try it. It can't be any worse than Whitney.
Oh, God. That's way better than Whitney.
Also, in another fun fact before we get out of here, they're filming Ben Wyatt's hometown. Did you hear about this?
No.
When Leslie goes back and visits Ben Wyatt's hometown, they filmed it in Orange.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I could see why they'd film it in Orange.
Yeah,
Old Town Orange. Okay, that could be fun. Well, since you brought up Parks and Rec, I thought last week's episode with the dueling bachelor and bachelorette parties.
I thought it was really sweet. I feel like that is Parks and Rec at its best.
That's what I was exactly going to say. Like, that was a sweet, funny, heartfelt episode that made you realize why you love the show and those characters.
Right. It definitely made you feel like, and I feel like that's the difference between you look at a show like Whitney that allegedly has an ensemble cast.
Right.
And you have a show like Parks and Rec where for some reason you go beyond that. You go to that next level where you care that good things or bad things happen to them.
Right.
And yeah, when they got to go play at Lucas Fields and Jim Irsay and Andrew Luck, I love the fact that Roy Hibbert shows up occasionally.
I mean, he's still pissed about Entertainment 720.
Right. He's like, I'll pay for it except for him. He has me a lot of money. So I just thought all of it, everyone got a rotating turn. I thought that was really nice. I was happy that they were playing Settlers of Catan.
That was so great. That killed me. I love that. Like, I just think it's still, to me, it's the best comedy on TV. And it warms my heart to watch that show.
More so than Community, you say?
Community hasn't been on a while. Community's not coming back for a couple more weeks. So
Community's dead to you. They haven't done anything for you lately.
They haven't done anything for me lately, even though I still love Community. Okay. So, and then and Girls has started back now. Have you got into Girls now that you're part of Highfalutin TV?
I am part of Highfalutin TV. I am. I'm going to start watching Girls.
Okay.
Because why not?
It's off to a strong start, I would say. I know your wife watched the first season and enjoyed it.
My wife's a huge fan. She is a huge fan of the show. I'm trying to also get into Game of Thrones.
Oh.
I only watched the first episode, which is okay. I feel like I need a map.
Well, that's why you got to watch the intro.
I do watch the intro.
And it shows you where things are.
I saw that.
The map changes every intro.
Does it really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it shows you where things are happening.
Oh, that's good to know. So it looked okay. It's a matter of getting back into that. I saw you didn't see Homeland.
I didn't see Homeland.
Homeland is great. I really think you would have liked Homeland, even though the second season was...
Everybody was kind of lukewarm on the second
season. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they'd done too much, But from the very beginning of the show to about halfway through season two, it was as good as anything on TV.
Everybody says now it's 24 with more swearing. That's what it's
close
become.
To. It's by the way, it's not as my family said when we were talking about this. It's not Kim Bauer being chased by a cougar. It's not there yet.
It's not there yet.
But yeah, it's all right. It's got Claire Danes. Claire Danes is perfect for that role. You know, she's kind of neurotic. She's cute enough where she could get her way, but not so hot that everyone would just follow her.
Right.
It's a solid mix.
All right. Well, next week on the show we have Heather Martin. Now Heather Sintas.
It's Sintas, hopefully. We're trying to work on booking her. Our booking agents are working overtime.
They're efforting on
yeah,
that.
Hopefully we'll be able to get her on.
And we'll be back with more Bachelor. We'll check in on our draft, and we got all sorts of good stuff. We're getting back to a weekly podcast here almost. It's going to be very exciting.
It is exciting. I'm glad you guys hung in with us. Can't wait to hear your feedback.
All right.
I'm Bruce Carlo.
I'm Mark Popovich. We'll see you next week in the neighborhood.